Moncrief on News Talk.
The world is full of confusing terms. Last night on I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out Here, one of the contestants, Tulisa Kontostavlos, described herself as demisexual. So what does that mean? The sex and relationship expert Caroline West is here to explain. Afternoon, Caroline.
Hello, Sean. How are you?
Not too bad. So demisexual sounds like you have sex half the time.
Well, some of us do, but no, it's not necessarily that.
John's a big fine thing.
Yeah, definitely. It's more of a sexual orientation as opposed to like a sexual act as such. So this is when someone feels attraction when they have that emotional bond in place already. So it's emotions first and connection first, and then maybe sex after that, if they feel like it.
Is that an orientation?
Yeah, like that's the thing. There's so many different labels that we have now, you know, and it's a spectrum. I think we're up to like 70 or something like that. And it's great that like people have terms that they can use to figure out what works for them. So, you know, you might think, well, doesn't loads of people need a connection before they have sex with someone? And absolutely not. Loads of people have great one night stands or 5 minute stands or whatever happens to be. And they're perfectly happy with that. But for someone who's demisexual, that would be really, really unfulfilling for them. So they need that emotional connection first.
Yeah. Okay. So they wouldn't do one night stands. But I would assume, though, that if you're looking for an emotional connection, you can't say, well, it has to be 6 months and then there's a ding ding, rather than it's how you feel about the person and how that person feels about you, how quickly or not you get that emotional connection.
Yeah, and look, for some people, it could be this intense, you know, this person just arrives in your life and just you're obsessed with them and you have this great emotional bond. And other times it might be a little bit more of a slow burner. So it really just depends on the person. So once they're communicating, because it might be quite hard if you're the other person in that relationship who isn't demisexual and they're going, oh my God, do they like me? You know, are we just friends? Is there any kind of sex going to happen here? So communication, really, really important there.
Yeah. So I don't know. Well, I suppose it's how long is a piece of string. If you're talking about being demi, are we talking months, weeks, years?
Whatever's up to the person, you know, really. There's some people who quite happily not have any main interest in sex, you know, and they might just prefer that emotional connection and that's what works for them. So that's the good thing about sex and sexuality and gender and orientation and all those things, is that we can find what works for us and what feels right for us. And just because other people do it doesn't mean that we have to do it. So it's really nice to see people like Tulisa speaking out, and maybe there's people listening at home going, oh, that sounds really, really familiar to me. And maybe the label doesn't quite fit, but maybe some of it fits and it might send you onto a little pathway of exploring your sexuality and realizing, oh, that's why all those sexual encounters were not as satisfying. It wasn't just the technique or the person, it was just the circumstances.
Yeah. Or maybe like in when they're looking for a partner, the sex is fourth or fifth on the list. And there's other things that are more important.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, that's like that for loads of people, and it's not like that for others. So I think it's really nice to see that kind of like that open conversation about how long should people wait for having sex. And, you know, I know Tulisa said it'd been a couple of years, but I think in her case as well, you also have to take in trauma. So it may be a trauma response in some cases, not to diminish or invalidate anyone's sexuality, but you know, she went through a really hard time when she had her sex tape released, and you know, we now refer to that as image-based sexual abuse, and it is sexual violence. So it's kind of no surprise that she doesn't want to get intimate with someone and wants to build up that trust first, because that was such a violation of someone. So it doesn't necessarily mean, you know, you're stuck in this trauma response, or you can only be demisexual, or you can't get back to heterosexuality, or whatever happens to be. Just talking through it and seeing what works for yourself. Like, thankfully, golden age of the internet, you know, we have all that information out there, but maybe have a look at the trauma response part as well.
Okay. So is demisexual a sexual orientation in the way heterosexual is an orient, in the sense you could be a demisexual gay person or a demisexual heterosexual person or a demisexual bisexual person?
Yeah, it gets very confusing sometimes. So most people have multiple identities and stuff. So yeah, absolutely. It doesn't necessarily change who you're attracted to. It just kind of more so influences the circumstances. So it doesn't necessarily mean you're not straight, or it doesn't mean you're not queer. It just means you like that emotional connection. So your situationships and all that kind of thing, not really going to be a satisfying experience for someone who is feeling like this.
Yeah. Now, so would there be, if you were demisexual, would there be a link there between being asexual, or is being asexual having no sex at all?
Yeah, so this is where it gets even more complicated. So asexuality, for anyone who doesn't know, it's usually when you don't really feel any sexual attraction or any interest in sex. Mm. But that in itself is a spectrum too. So some people would say they're asexual, but they might have a little bit of sex. And some people are like, absolutely not. And some might kind of just go, oh, go on, you know, it's okay, or just not really kind of prioritize it. So you have spectrums within spectrums. So you can see kind of how confusing that would be. So and some of them, yeah, again, quite similar. Some demisexuals don't ever really want to have sex. It's all about that emotional connection and the snuggles and everything else, not necessarily penetration or what we might think of as sex.
Yeah. Okay. But if a person describes themselves as demisexual or asexual, and with a potential partner, that will probably require some explanation as to what they mean by that.
Yeah, and it's okay to not know what you mean by that at the start.
Sure, yeah.
It's absolutely confusing, and that's okay. You know, nobody has to have absolutely perfect answers. And, you know, you might kind of be a bit suspicious sometimes of people who say, yes, I'm definitely this, because sexuality can change, and it can change over lifestyle, and it can change, you know, after sexual assault, you know, like a trauma response. And that wouldn't necessarily be a sexual orientation, but it changes our attitude to sex. Mm, and maybe that celibacy gives us the moment to pause and kind of go, yeah, actually what was working before doesn't really make sense for me. So that celibate period might give you that time to kind of look back and see if there are any patterns in your relationship. You know, what did you do in your 20s? Did that kind of influence this? Or, you know, did you have really disappointing activities in your 20s? And that's kind of changed how you look at relationships going forward. You know, there's all those kind of questions, and it's okay to have questions, and it's okay to say, I don't know all the answers. And your partner probably will be confused. That's okay too, because these are new terms. You know, demisexuality, it's only kind of really been around since about 2006. So we're not even kind of 20 years into it, but it has always existed. We just have language for it now.
Yeah. Okay. Because what I'm wondering is that when you meet someone and, you know, consent and all that stuff, that you should have some sort of conversation about sex beforehand. And so you would have to explain where you stand on all that beforehand. So do we need labels rather than just encouraging people to have a conversation beforehand and describe where they're at?
Yeah, I kind of go back and forth on labels sometimes. Like they're really great for finding kind of your pathway to it, but sometimes then they can be quite suffocating then, in one sense, you know. And you might think, gosh, maybe I'm a lesbian, and maybe you haven't heard of bisexuality, or maybe you haven't heard of something else. So, you know, we might think, oh, these are the only labels I've heard of, so I have to fit myself into this box. So once we kind of expand beyond that and think, well, there's many ways to be, that's okay. And you might try on a label for a while, and you might think, actually, it doesn't really work for me. Or your sense of attraction changes. You might go through phases of, you know, being more attracted to one gender than another. It really is all a mishmash and a smorgasbord of exploring your sexuality. And that's what's exciting to me in the area of sexuality studies. But I can see how that's confusing and terrifying to many other people. That's okay. So it's the same as anything, you know. It's like, if you want to be good at cookery, you'll take workshops. If you want to explore your sexuality, have a look online. There's always workshops and community groups out there. And again, you don't have to have all the answers. You don't have to make your label the same as anyone else's. So labels can be good, but they can be stifling in, I suppose, that freedom to explore yourself.
Caroline, thanks a million. As ever, that was the sex and relationship expert, Caroline West there.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.